Hey, so we're starting a series this weekend called Family Talks. And for me personally, this is me growing up. Our living room reflected a lot of who we were as a family, and specifically a couch where my parents would say, hey, let's have family talk. And that family talk would be from we're going on vacation this summer to your sister is pregnant. So it was all kinds of talks, the good, the bad. I remember sitting on a couch as a senior in high school, trying to figure out where to go to college and praying on this couch and discussing and dialoguing with my parents. So a lot of decisions were made as a family, sitting in our living room, a lot of discussions, a lot of arguments, a lot of disagreements, a lot of hugs. Christmases were spent in there. Birthdays were spent in there. So this represented life to me. And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk family stuff. And it's going to bring up pretty much a lot of what we talked about last month, where you're going to be challenged in a lot of the things that we've talked about, because family ultimately is messy, crazy, hurtful. There's a lot of pain. When you hear family, there's a lot of memories that flood your mind. And so when we say love changes everything, this is where we find out if that's true and if we really believe that. So we started this series Friday night when we brought in Jimmy and Sherry Bratcher. And it was a year ago on Friday that me and my wife had lunch with them, and I had met Jimmy in Omaha, Nebraska, 10 years ago, and it was more, he was a guest at the church we were at, but we never really connected, and Pastor Dobie said a year ago, you need to connect with him because they have a story to tell, and you need to hear this story. And so I said, well, Jimmy has a story? I mean, I knew he did, you know, was a guitar player, and I've heard him play, and that's incredible. He said, no, you need to hear their story. And so we had lunch with them a year ago, and so there was nobody that I wanted to kick this series off then, to have Jimmy and Sherry. And so, would you welcome this time my friend Jimmy Bratcher?
Glad to be here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can come together and we can talk, or we can have a family talk. And Lord, you can teach us and lead us. And Lord, from these talks we can learn and we can leave here, and we can just come away with so much that we didn't have before. Lord, help us today to hear, and help us as we go to do the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, because I'm sitting on the couch today, I wish that we weren't in church. I wish that we were like at your house, sitting on the couch with the scepter of dominion, the remote control. I love that thing, man. It's the only thing I'm in charge of. This is a remote control, and we could just sit there eating Cheetos. I like Cheetos, the crunchy kind, Mike Plain. I don't want them soft ones. Those are for girls. And or when I maybe when I don't have any teeth, man, I'll take the puffy ones. That's why I don't like mashed potatoes. I said, when I don't have any teeth, you can feed me mashed potatoes, man, but don't give it to me now. But I wish we were sitting at your house, because then we could really have a talk. Because I've discovered that there's this supernatural piece of property where more miraculous miracles of transformation happen than any other place on the planet. I call it the zone. And the zone is someplace between where you parked your car and the front door of the church. More miraculous miracles of transformation happen in that area than any other place on the planet. I know when Sherry and I, man, when we were raising our kids and coming to church, you know, we'd be driving down the road. I'd have one hand on the wheel, one arm in the back seat, doing a big daddy smackdown on the kids. We'd be fussing, fighting, strife would be thick, chaos everywhere. We'd get to church, step out on the zone, and Super Christian would appear. So if you hadn't been through the zone, then we could really have a conversation about you. You know, we could really talk. So today, let's just pretend that we're just hanging out at your house, all right? Say, my house. We want to be hanging out at your house. You know, it's like that we're afraid to really talk to each other. You know, we're afraid to really unveil because, you know, man, we got all this stuff. You know, we got all this junk in our lives and all this hurt and all this pain. And we think that the answer is to cover it up and hide it. And us men, man, we're really good at hiding. That's the first response to sin. Be afraid and hide. And so with Jesus, though, we don't have to hide. You know, because he sees it all anyway. You know, he sees all of our stuff, all of our junk, all of our hurts, all of our, you know, dysfunction. And he sees it anyway, and he still comes looking for us. That's the model that we have in Genesis. You know, man sins, goes in the garden, hides from God, and God still comes looking for him. And he's looking for us today. Well, a little bit of background about Cheryl, and I wanted to say hi to my friend Mike Plains here today. We go way back with Mike. Way back into the 90s, man. And so anyway, Mike's here. But a little background on us. Sherry and I, we have for the past 17 years been traveling full-time in ministry. We travel. We're in a church pretty much every week. And then we're in all kinds of other venues, you know, as well. Prisons, clubs, bars, like I said earlier. And prior to that, we were on staff at a large church in northwest Missouri that was a very active, healthy, growing church, one of the top 20 fastest-growing churches in America while we were there. Mike was there on staff, too, at a period of time. And so, you know, we had, prior to that, we were in a little church in northwest Missouri. This gives you all of our ministry resume. Little church in northwest Missouri in Caldwell County, which is the smallest populated county in Missouri. I mean, we, you know, 5,000 people in the whole county. And we went to a church there, and I don't make this up, it's just too bizarre. Folks Friday night heard about it. We went to a church there by the name of God's Sheep Shed, where all the big sheep and the little lambs get fed. I think somebody needs to plant a church in some metropolitan area and call it God's Sheep Shed. See how that markets. So anyway, but I just want to start. Pastor Jamie asked me to start by just telling you a story, so I'm going to tell you a story. See, I'm a big local church guy. I believe in the local church. But I'm an evangelist, so I'm you know, out doing evangelistic things. But the most effective evangelistic tool that we have on the planet is the local church. It's really more than that. It's people in the local church inviting people to come to church. That's the most effective evangelistic tool that we have. Like up over 80, 90% of people that receive Jesus in America receive Jesus because somebody invites somebody to come to church. Would you just say that with me? Say, somebody. Invite somebody to come to church. That's what works. That's what works. And so I'll just tell you this story. There was a single mom and she was devastated because of her divorce. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't have the tools that she needed to succeed in life. And she was in the store one day. And guess what happened? There was a lady there from church. And guess what she did? She invited her to come to church with her. And she came to church and she walked into the church and she experienced something. You know, and that's what church should be like. It should be an experience something. We should experience something. And she felt something. She felt something that was foreign to her. She felt respect, she felt valued, she felt honored, she felt love. And it was magnetic and it attracted her. She didn't understand all that was going on, but there was something about this feeling that she had that just attracted her. So she started coming to church, her and her little boy who was about 4 years old. And she came and she just enjoyed what was going on there. And one Sunday night, at the close of the service, the pastor just said, if you're here today and you need prayer, then I want you to come forward. And she had all kinds of need in her life, but she had all kinds of shame in her life. And so she was paralyzed there in her seat. So she sat in her seat as the service started to go forward. A few minutes into the service, she felt a hand tugging on her leg, and it was her little boy. And she bent down to see what he wanted, and he said, Mom, we need prayer. And she said, I know we do, baby. It's going to be okay, and Jesus was going to take care of us. A few minutes passed, and she felt his hand on her pant leg again, and she bent down, and this time he was more determined, and he said, but Mama, we need prayer. And she said, I know we do, hon. Let's pray right here. He said, no, Mom, I want to go up there. And reluctantly, she left her seat and brought him down front, told the pastor it was the little boy that wanted prayer. He bent down and got on one knee and looked him right in the eyes and said, son, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And the little boy said, I want Jesus to bring my daddy home. And they prayed. A single mom, she had some mentors in her life. One of her mentors one day said, so what's your plan for your life now that you're a single parent? And she said, well, you know, I was all messed up, and Jesus loved me and is helping me, so I think I'm going to believe that for my husband. And the mentor said to her, that won't work, because he's not the type to be saved. It's like, I thought sinners were the type to be saved. You know what I'm saying? But one Sunday night, she came to church with her little boy and her ex-husband. And there was an opportunity for people to believe on Jesus. Like, if you're around me, there's going to be an opportunity for people to believe on Jesus. And everyone was shocked, except maybe her and the little boy, when the ex-husband said, I want to believe. And their lives were transformed that night as they were born again. More children were then added to the family. And that's mine and Sherry's story, because that's where we started 40 years ago. December 19th, 1976, that's where our story started. We went through all the dysfunction, all the hurt, all the pain. You know, we were married for 3 years, and it was so bad that we called it the marriage made in hell, because that's all there was around our house, was a whole bunch of hell. It was so bad that one night when we got in a fight, which we did frequently, and this time it got physical, and I lost the fight, that I had to have reconstructive surgery on my face. That's right, I had an extreme makeover back in the 70s. Somebody's out there saying, man, you need another one. I know. And I was home recovering from surgery, and my grandmother walked in, Granny, and she sees me laying on my mother's couch, and my eyes are all black down in my cheeks, and she looks at me and she says, baby, I will give you the money if you just get a divorce. I'll give you the money if you just get a divorce. Man, you know your marriage is jacked up when Granny will pay for the divorce. That's what I'm talking about. So that's where we started. And we've had many a family talk and been through many a good thing and bad things and fights and the conflicts in our families. And after 40 years, we can sit here and say, it was all worth it. It was worth staying in the fight. It was worth making the commitments. It was worth the sacrifices that we had to make and all of the joy and the love that we've experienced. We got a picture of what Sherry and I looked like when we started back in 1976. We can show you. This was like 1974. That was in our first marriage. There we are, the lovely couple. I was so thrilled to be there, can you tell? Mike Plain brought the mutton chops back. That's what he's doing right there. But that's me and Sherry and our son Jason. And then 10 months after that, our daughter Amanda came to the picture. Let's have that other family picture that we have there, our immediate family. There they are. So there's our baby Amanda. She's a victims advocate in Platte County, Missouri. Our son Jason, And then there's this girl, Jessica. And Jessica, she came into our life in 2011. And she was, I was dating a girl in 1971. And she came to me one night. We were hippies. You couldn't tell, could you? And she came to me and she said, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And to which I just simply didn't believe it until in 2011, about 6 years ago, that I got an email from her that said, "It's overdue that you should meet your daughter and your grandsons." And her name's Jessica, and she's a great lady. She lives in Washington, D.C., and loves the Lord and loves us as her family. It's just a miraculous story. We'll be putting out a DVD here in the next several weeks of just our story, her and I telling our story together. And then Jason. Jason lives in Dallas. He's the little boy that prayed for me. So then we have a picture of our almost all of our family. There's some of them missing in it, but it just shows you the herd. There they are. This is Christmas 2011. So we're missing three grandkids out of this. So as a result of our lives, we have nine grandchildren, three children, and we're just so blessed and thankful to be here and share our story. So anyway, let's talk. And when I talk Bible, because Bible is how God talks to us. You know, God has a vocabulary, and when he speaks, it always sounds like the Bible, because that's the language that he speaks, you know. And I just want to choose a text. I'm not going to actually preach, I'm just going to talk. Out of Acts 2:39, because I'm like the kind of preacher, it's like I got to get up and walk around and scream and yell and wave my arms and stuff. But I'm restraining myself. It's difficult. So Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And when you look at this verse and you look at the translation of it in the Greek, you'll find that the promise is defined like this. It's talking about the Holy Spirit here is the promise. The promise is defined like this: God's divine assurance of good. God's divine assurance of good. He has good things in our life because he is a good God. It is the goodness of God that draws us to God. So one of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my life is that I don't need to be concerned with telling people everything that's wrong in their life. Because we're all very much aware of those things because we have a conscience, and our conscience is what causes us to be aware of those things that are wrong in our life. But can I tell you that there's an absence of people that know how to discern what's good in someone's life? The promise, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:17, is for our sons, daughters, young men, old men, thank God, old men, men servants, maid servants, and you know that about covers everybody in our house. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of transformation. And we live in an era when a lot of people, they don't talk about the Holy Spirit in church anymore because he's just too messy. But there's two things in my life that I've learned that have made a huge difference in our world, in our family. And I'm just going to talk about those two things. Number one is that Sherry and I together surrendered to Jesus and gave Jesus our heart. We surrendered. And what that meant was, it really simply boils down to this. We gave up our opinions. We gave up our opinions. There's a whole lot of people's opinions that are keeping them from experiencing the reality of the good things that God has for them in their life, because they would prefer to keep their opinion rather than surrender to the will of God, to the Word of God, and surrender to Jesus. We early on made the decision that we didn't know what we were doing. You kind of think? I mean, you end up in divorce court, it's pretty obvious, man. You don't know what you're doing. You end up in a hospital from hurting each other, and we didn't know what we were doing. And so we just simply said, look, we don't know. And so we're going to surrender our opinion to Jesus, and we're going to let his word and people that come into our life that know his word to speak into our lives and to help us to calm the chaos that's in our world. We surrendered to Jesus. And to us, what that meant was we needed to be in church. We needed to be in the church. And we just made it a habit. I mean, it was like our habit. It's like my kids never had to ask me on Sunday morning, "Hey, Dad, we going to church?" It'd be like, "Shut up, boy. You know we're going to church. We're all jacked up. We got to have some help. We're going to church. Come on." Some of y'all don't understand help, you know. You got to get that desperate. One Sunday morning, man, we lived out by God's sheep shed out in the middle of nowhere on a gravel road. And we got up and it snowed, you know, and so we couldn't get the car out of the driveway. And I came in and I said, "Sherry, baby, I got to go to church. I mean, I need some help." And so I started walking. So I walked to church. It was 2 miles there, 5 miles back, uphill both ways. I got there and they canceled church. I walked to the pastor's house, knocked on his door. He came to the door. He goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I came for church." He goes, "We canceled church." I said, "Uh-uh, buddy, you get that Bible out. I got to have some help. I'm all jacked up." Some of you need to get that desperate. You need to get that understanding that, man, you don't have an opinion, and you're going to have to surrender that opinion and allow somebody to help you. We had this man that came to our church. Came to the sheep shed. And I love saying that. Everybody laughs at it. It's so funny. And this man came to our church, and he had three kids at home, two teenage boys and a daughter that was the same age as Amanda at that time. And man, their family was slamming. I mean, this family, it's like I got around them, and I finally just said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I want my family to be like that. That's what I want my family to be like." I mean, teenage boys, and they were polite. It's like, that's a miracle manifestation right there. I mean it. And the teenage boys, they loved God, and they were serving the Lord. And I'm like, wow, man, I want my family to be like that. And we started hanging around with them. And the guy's name is J. Harold Lee. He's in heaven now. But at 35 years old, he had a debilitating stroke that left him paralyzed completely on one side of his body. And even with a severe handicap, he was able somehow to raise his family in such a way that it glorified God and that there was not a lot of dysfunction in them, even though the extremes of him not being able to work, all of those things that came into play. And one night he was speaking to the church, and he said, "You know, there's two things in life that I can't do. There's two things in life that I have to go to God for every day to be able to do." And man, he had my attention, because I thought this guy walked on water. You know, I thought he was my hero. And he said, "Two things I can't do that I have to go to God for every day to find the ability to be able to do them." I couldn't wait to hear what he was going to say. He said, "To be a husband and a father." He said, "I have to go to God every day to find the ability to be able to do that." Something exploded in my heart. Because all of a sudden, I found the help I was looking for. I found that I could go to God, and that God would give me the wisdom, that would give me the ability to be able to be successful at being a father and a husband. We surrendered to Jesus. You know, how we quit fighting, you know, how we stop the conflict and us fighting together is really the biblical model for relationship. We put Jesus as the head of our relationship, and we put his word as the mediator of our relationship. So whenever we would have an argument, it wasn't Sherry's opinion that was right. It wasn't my opinion that was right necessarily. It was, are we representing his opinion to each other? How we conduct ourselves, how we treat people, how we treat each other. Are we treating each other the way that Jesus would treat people? And it made a huge difference in our life because we allowed the Word to be the mediator. No longer was it mediated by our emotions. No longer was it mediated by our past experience. It began to be mediated by, are we submitting ourselves individually to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to be present in our home? Another thing that we did was we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus said it like this. He said, I'm going to go away. This is my paraphrase. I'm thinking about writing the hillbilly authorized version of the Bible. But Jesus said it like this. He said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you. And listen, when deity is talking about sending deity to come to me and help me, so I'm not the sharpest tack in the pile, but I'm saying, sign me up for that deal. You know, I mean, listen, if I can have part of the Trinity inside of me, living in me, never leaving, never forsaking me, with the commission from the Son of God to help me, it's like, I'm interested in that. I want that. So we took hold of the Holy Spirit by faith and believed that we received him, just like we did when we believed on Jesus. By faith, we reached out and we grabbed a hold of the Holy Spirit and said, I want to be baptized and full of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, things started to change. It was subtle, but things started to change. You see, the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talks about, where it talks about the nine fruits, you know, love, joy, peace, righteousness, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control, all of those things. Those are all relational tools. Jesus said, I'm going to send, Acts 1:8, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to give you power to witness, to represent, to represent the realities of what God is like. And that's what Jesus did. He came to this planet and they said, you know, we've never seen anything like this before. And Jesus says, look, if you see me, you see me, you see the Father, because he came to represent God to this planet. And so we're called to represent God to our families, how he's going to react and how he's going to respond. And as we reach out and lay hold of the Holy Spirit, we then have the power necessary to manifest this fruit that gives us the ability to relate to each other and function in a way that's not going to injure each other and not going to produce dysfunction. He also gave us the gifts of the Spirit so that we would have ability and power to be able to, again, represent, to represent, to witness. But those gifts should be manifesting themselves in our homes. Everybody say, my house. The Holy Spirit was given so that we would have power and authority in our world, and it all begins in our house. And man, I tell you what, I needed the power of the Holy Spirit in our house. And I can remember when I started to see some of those things start to manifest in our house. I came home from work one night, drove in my like 1968 Dodge Dart. It was like a killer car, man. It'd never die. It'd drive it forever. But I pulled into the driveway, and I'm sitting there facing the house, and I don't have the courage to go inside because I know there's a good possibility there's an angry woman in there. Probably because I did something stupid that made her be that way, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there, and I just like, I don't want to go in here anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want this conflict. I don't want this chaos that's in my home. And I'm sitting there, and I don't want to go inside. And finally, all of a sudden, I see my finger pointing at the house. I'm pointing at my house. And I start screaming at my house. I start screaming out these words. The peace of God lives in that house. And those people that live in that house, they're people that are ruled by the peace of God. And that house has a testimony for the peace it possesses. I had no idea what I was doing. I did go inside. I didn't know what I was doing. But I was prophesying. The gift of prophecy from the Holy Spirit. To speak of things to come, came out of my life, came out of my mouth. And you know what started to happen? We created a standard in our home that we were going to have peace. That we were going to, when people came to our house, they were going to experience peace. They were going to feel it. It was going to be tangible. We have people that still come to my house, man. It's like, I have to get up, go to the door and say, get out. Because they're just like there, like going, wow, man. Far out, you know. You need the Holy Spirit in your life because you need that kind of power and you need those kinds of gifts in order to be able to succeed in life. I can remember, man. You know, Jesus said it like this. He said in Luke chapter 10, he told the disciples when he sent them out, he said, look, when you enter into a house, first say, peace be to that house. And if the Son of Peace is there, then let your peace remain there. If not, then go on. And your home has an atmosphere. It has, in your atmosphere of your home is made up by the attitudes of the people that live there. We create that conflict or we create that peace by our attitudes. And man, nothing will jack up a home more than kids. Jack up the atmosphere of a home right now. That's what I'm saying. We had that growing up, and Amanda is our strong-willed child. She's the baby. She's the strong-willed child. And when Amanda was about 8 or 9 years old, she copped this attitude, and it was messing with the peace of our house, man. And she'd do this thing where you'd like say, Amanda, no, you can't do that. She'd put her hand on her hip and start shaking her leg and go, oh, huh. It's like it was messing with the peace in our home. She'd either do that or you'd tell her no, and she'd go off stomping down the room, you know, down the hall to her bedroom, wham, and slam the door. And one day she had done that, and I was, you know, kick back in the lazy boy with the scepter of dominion. And I was about to go get me a piece of her. When all of a sudden, I heard this voice down in my heart. It was one of the gifts of the Spirit. It was a word of knowledge. And so I just walked down to her room and I said, Amanda, I got this word of knowledge for you. I said, crazy, I know, but I got this word of knowledge. I can tell that you're having problems with the word no. And so from now on, we're going to be practicing the word no. You're going to have your, you know, you're going to have all your homework done, a miracle. You're going to have your room cleaned up, an even greater miracle. And you're going to come to me and you're going to ask me to do something. And I'm going to tell you no because you need the practice. And man, she started working at that and failed miserably. But all of a sudden, man, she started getting it. And one week, I knew that she had this sleepover she wanted to go to. And she hadn't asked me about it. It was on Friday night. And I came home from work, came in, and she came bouncing up to me. Said, Dad, can I go over to my friend's house for the sleepover? And I said, no. And her eyes got big and tears filled her eyes. And she calmly and quietly walked down the hall to her room, shut the door quietly, and laid down on her bed and started to cry. When I heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart, as her mother said, But we need that type of spirit. I mean, that's funny, but, you know, don't go home and try that on your kids, because you got to get your own word from God for that stuff. But it's funny, but man, I needed that stuff. My family, my sisters and my family, they're all hypochondriacs. I mean, it's like, you know, man, if they had all those commercials from drug companies and all the side effects, man, when I was a kid, we'd all been messed up, man, because we'd all had that stuff. You know, it's like we get somebody talking about somebody getting sick, and we were getting it. And when I got saved, it's like I wanted to break that thing. And then Jason, man, he started to manifest that thing. Anytime anybody gets sick, he gets sick. And one day I was just had a really terrible upset stomach, and I took some Alka-Seltzer. And some of y'all, probably young guys, don't know what that is. You need to go, like, look on YouTube for an Alka-Seltzer commercial. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, you know. And Jason, man, it's just like a few minutes later, he's like doubled up in the floor with a stomach ache. And I had this word of knowledge. He's faking. And so I said, Jason, what's wrong, buddy? Oh, Dad, I'm so sick. I'm so sick. I said, what can I do for you? He says, I need an Alka-Seltzer. I'm like, okay, buddy, come on, let's go. So we went upstairs to the medicine cabinet, and I got out an Alka-Seltzer, broke it in half, and said, okay, buddy, open up. He goes, you mean I don't get any water? It's like, no, man, as sick as you are, you need to straight. He never did that again, by the way. And if he was here, he'd tell you he's never had another Alka-Seltzer either in his life. But we need the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming out of our lives if we're going to get over the dysfunction and the pain of our present and of our past. And the way that we do that is by yielding our hearts, opening up our lives, and saying, yes, I want to surrender to Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to take hold of those things by faith, and I'm not going to let them go. Whether I failed or whether I succeed, I'm still going to keep trying. You know, our world was rocked in 2011 when our daughter Jessica appeared in our life, and we didn't know what that was going to be like. And I got that email on February 13th, 2011 from her mother that said, maybe sometime Jessica can come with us and you can have listen to her tell the story. But I got that email and said, you know, it's overdue that you should meet your daughter and your grandsons. And I knew there was a possibility that Jessica was out there. I didn't know for sure. And I didn't know what to do. The email said I could look her up on Facebook, so I did, and I sent her a friend's request. And she went into this deep panic because she didn't know what this meant or what to expect, and she had all these emotions of abandonment and rejection and all of these things. And I didn't know what to do because I couldn't believe that I was capable of hurting one of my children like I had hurt her out of my own selfishness and ignorance. And it took her about 3 weeks before she could respond. And in that 3 weeks period of time, all I could do was groan. I could just groan. I'd lay on my bed early in the morning and I'd just groan. And I'd just say, oh God, Jessica. And all I can say is that God just all of a sudden just went crazy in our family. You know, he's the God of reconciliation. He's the God who describes himself as love. He's the God who
sole desire with this planet is to be a father with a family. And there's those verses in the Bible that says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And that's what it was like. We yielded ourselves, all of us. Jessica, her husband, her four boys, Sherry, me, Jason, and Amanda. We yielded ourselves to believe that something was possible. And God began to invade our lives as we walked towards Him and each other. And here's this girl that I've never seen, I've never heard her voice, I've never talked to her. And what's she going to be like? You know, what's it going to be like in that situation? How's Sherry going to respond? What about our kids, you know, and all those things? And I always tell people that, you know, I don't use words like hi or hello and a greeting because I'm too cool for that, you know. So I'll do something like, hey, you know, I mean, something cool, you know. And so 3 weeks from had passed and we're getting ready to meet Jessica for the first time, and I've never heard her voice, and I walk, I don't know if she's going to be angry or what, and I walk up to her, and I'm so anxious to hear what she says, because, you know, those of you that have kids, you know, your kids' first words are vitally important, and I walk up to her, and I'm standing there, and I'm not going to say a word until she speaks, and she looks at me, and she goes, hey. She says, hey, I'm a hugger. And she threw her arms around me. And for about a half hour, we just wept. She tells the story that while she was standing there, she looked in her heart, wanting to find the anger, the abandonment, all of the things that had happened to her. And she said they weren't there. That God told her, you can't have those things, but you can have your daddy. And the only way that I can say that we were able as a family to watch God do this miracle in all of our lives. I mean, we talk to her 3 or 4 times a week. She calls Sherry Mom. And she'll tell you she's as much my mom as if she would have birthed me herself. You know, the prophet Daniel, there's a description of him, and it says that he could solve hard sayings. And when you study that passage of Scripture, it literally says he could untie knots. He could untie knots. And I don't know what kind of shape your family is in, your relationships are in. They might seem like they're so complicated, so complex. But God's able to just strand by strand, as we yield to Him, take those things and untie those things and make those things happen. We're not naive enough to think that everybody's story is like ours. But everybody's God is the same. Those who believe on Jesus. Let me clarify that so you don't think I'm saying, oh. And He's more than capable to enter into your relationships and into your family and to say, I'm willing. Are you willing? I'm willing to untie knots. Are you willing? So I hope today that you take 2 things out of this talk. Number one, surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Pastor Jamie talked about that after praise and worship. Number two, take hold of the Holy Spirit and allow him to come into your life, into your heart, and help you. Because you can overcome some of the hardest, most complicated things from the bad choices that you've made in life with his help. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that your ability in us is greater than anything that could be against us. And Lord, I just ask that as we've talked today, that you would implant seeds of hope, seeds of faith, seeds of forgiveness, and actions into people's hearts. Lord, that we would surrender to Jesus and take hold of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. Help us to do the word today. In Jesus' name, amen.